Hey there, I'm Beth Donaldson, an entrepreneur that puts hustle and heart into everything I do. The Hustle and Heart podcast will give you real and raw advice about overcoming and embracing failures, challenges, and obstacles in order to climb to the top. But it all begins with you. Listen in to each episode to harness your power and achieve more than you ever thought possible. Get ready to own it all because you deserve it. Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle and Heart podcast. Today, I am thrilled to have a special guest on the podcast as we dive into a conversation that's not talked about very often, and yet it's essential to our overall emotional, mental, and physical well-being. And that topic is sex and how it relates to our overall wellness. So today, we are going to normalize this topic in the episode of Erotic Blueprint, where Breck and I are going to have a real and candid conversation with you about something that affects all of us, our sexuality and how it connects to our overall health. Breck is the owner of Breck Aesthetics and Wellness. She graduated with a master's in physician assistant studies from the University of Oklahoma in 2010 and received a master's in healthcare administration from Oklahoma State University in 2019. She is a certified A4M in weight management and peptide therapy. Breck has over 13 years' experience in the aesthetic and medical industry. She recently served as vice president of medical operations at Ideal Image, where her team of medical regionals led over 1,000 medical professionals in 160 clinics across the U.S. and Canada. She is now the owner of Breck Aesthetics and Wellness, and the Vice President of Medical Operations at Avanta Medical, while also pioneering wellness spas in the Oklahoma area. Breck, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's dive right into this fun conversation.
Absolutely, I'm excited to be here.
Thank you so much. Breck, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey into the wellness and aesthetic industry and how you've become so passionate about sexual wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. I am a physician assistant, and I've been in the wellness industry for a little over 12 years now, the majority of my career. And I have extensive experience in body sculpting, vaginal rejuvenation, weight loss, hormones, and peptide therapy. And in my experience, most of my patients are simply just wanting to feel more confident. And when you get them in an intimate setting where they feel comfortable to discuss their needs, I hear more and more questions about just overall sexual wellness. So, you know me, I've been researching, trying to find solutions for those patients and learning more and more every single day and trying to be able to provide a holistic care for my patients, a kind of a one-stop shop. So that's really what has drove me to learn more and more about sexual wellness.
Yeah, and it's amazing how much we're really normalizing that, which I know we're going to talk about later in this conversation, just normalizing this topic, but also our industry of aesthetics and particularly sexual wellness. It's really exciting to see just how much we learn and everything's innovating every single day and how it can really make us just level up as human beings. So I'm super excited to hear everything you have to say about this particular topic and just our industry as a whole. Why do you think sexual wellness is so often overlooked in the broader wellness conversation and it's such a taboo topic?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult conversation for many patients, but oddly, it also is for practitioners. You know, as practitioners, we're trained to learn so much about medical diagnoses and medications and pharmacology, but not how to actually communicate with our patients, especially on sensitive topics. You know, when I was researching and thinking about this, even my gynecologist, you know, doesn't go into detail regarding my sexual health or how I'm feeling. You know, it's a skill. So it takes practice. I'm sure you remember, and I definitely remember when Botox, you know, was such a taboo subject. And, you know, with daily socialization and social media, it's kind of become the norm. And my hope is the same will happen with sexual wellness.
Yes, absolutely. And you're so right about the Botox. And even though it has become a little bit of the norm, there's still, you know, certain generations that it's still a pretty taboo topic, or we even have clients come in that we kind of joke, we're like, you know, their husband doesn't know or their friends don't know.
Yes.
Like, your secret's safe with us.
Absolutely.
So even though it's become more normalized and people are starting younger and they're understanding the value of looking and feeling your best, it's really cool to see. And I love how you hit on how you're not in medicine, you're not even trained really for the skill of the communication or having those conversations. And it's a skill that you have to learn. But also, even with entrepreneurship, I mean, you know, as a business owner as well, like, we don't learn this stuff in school.
Right.
You know? We learn it through the failures and the things that we try over and over again, and just learning every day on how to become the best business owner. And I think the same is true even as a provider from your perspective and how to communicate with clients. And the interesting thing is like, we have to lead in that role as med spas and, you know, wellness clinics, because otherwise a lot of people think they're the only ones going through whatever that is with the sexual wellness or, you know, normalizing even the Botox thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, practitioners are often very black and white, and it's hard for us to kind of get outside of our comfort zone sometimes. But I feel like if you're not making yourself uncomfortable like daily, that you're probably not growing. And it's, you know, it's my duty as a practitioner to address all aspects of my patient's care. And so, you know, with repetition and just making yourself do it every single day, it becomes easier and an easier and an easier topic. And you can also put your patients' minds at ease, and they feel more comfortable and confident talking to you about it when they feel a little bit relaxed and don't feel that stress and tension coming from you as a provider as well.
Absolutely. When you can be the expert and put them at ease. Absolutely. I love that. And yeah, pushing our limits every single day, because these things are uncomfortable. Like, anytime we do something new, it's uncomfortable, but it, with repetition and just doing it again, just makes it more comfortable. And ultimately, we're changing lives here, which is the most beautiful part. So when we step outside the comfort zone with those conversations, particularly, we're able to really, really change lives, whether it's even with incontinence and things like that, which we'll also get into. But how do you perceive the societal stigma surrounding discussions about sexual wellness, particularly in the wellness industry and aesthetics? And what do you do to normalize this for clients? I know we kind of talked about this, but dig a little bit deeper to make an impact in our clients' lives.
Yeah, I think societal pressures and stigmas surrounding sex and sexual health specifically play a significant role in shaping how individuals approach their overall lives, not just their sexual wellness, but, you know, it influences our perceptions, our behaviors, our mental health. And unfortunately, some of these pressures can cause obstacles to really understanding and experiencing a healthy sex life. I mean, there's shame and guilt, you know, sexuality and gender norms, performance anxiety and unrealistic standards. You know, when I think of social media and societal stigma, the unrealistic standards comes up a lot. You know, body image, intimacy, you know, the portrayal of this perfect body, it makes some people feel inadequate or dissatisfied because they think that they're different, or that they should be like the people in the movies and, you know, what they're seeing on social media. And unfortunately, I think the main thing that contributes to that is silence and like lack of education. You know, people often grow up without proper guidance on topics like consent or sexual health or pleasure. Yeah. And so I think there's a few different things, but, you know, dismantling some of these harmful societal norms and encouraging like healthy, open conversations, focusing on body positivity and mental health, and promoting education, you know, such as this podcast, we can create an environment, I think, where people feel more empowered to embrace their sexual wellness, seek help if they need to, and hopefully, you know, enjoy some fulfilling, positive sexual experiences. To me, the education is key. You know, we've talked about some of my reading materials and some of the books that I've read. I think educating yourself is the most vital piece.
Yes, definitely. Because if we're not educated, how can we educate our clients and, you know, offer the best solutions for them too? And I love how you said just like having those open conversations, because you're so right. Like,
so many things, not just sex and Botox and aesthetics, but a lot of things are just like pushed under the rug. And these are so important in our lives to really be our best selves. So to be able to have and communicate, have these conversations and educate people on what's out there to help them become their best self and not just, you know, push it under the rug. I mean, I just feel like for generations that people did that with a lot of different aspects of life that affect mental, physical, emotional, and spirituality. Like, but now I feel like there's been a little bit of a pivot, and maybe it's, you know, people like us that are just normalizing things. Like, let's talk about it, because we all go through life, you know, and life's hard. And we need to find a way to feel our best, look our best, and ultimately become our best. And so it's just really cool to be able to make an impact with that.
Absolutely.
So how do you feel like sex contributes to healthy relationships, emotional intimacy, and better quality of life?
Yeah, I mean, there are numerous studies out there, you know, regarding sex and the benefit of health, you know, such as like the endorphins we release with physical touch, all the way to cardiovascular health. You know, it's all over the place. I think in regards to relationships and intimacy, they're all very unique. So the most important thing is for all partners to kind of feel connected and to be on the same page as much as possible, so that you can have that kind of sense of security and emotional support. So trying to be on the same page as your partner or your partners or with yourself, you know, if you don't have a partner, I think knowing yourself is probably the most important piece to sexual health. And part of that education, I mean, there's multiple different books out there that I think are great for just any patient to read. I just finished Testosterone for Life, which is great for our male listeners out there. And I'm currently reading, I don't think I told you about this one, Beth, but you would love it. I'm currently reading Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski. And it is not only an amazing educational tool, but also female empowerment. I mean, it is just great. It really gets down to the nitty gritty. And I learn something every night when I read that book. So
what is that book about?
Come As You Are, essentially about, you know, female anatomy, your accelerators, your brakes, how, you know, kind of knowing yourself and getting to be comfortable with yourself. And there's a lot of information in there that just kind of talks about societal norms and diversity, and that every body is different and not just everyone, right? Like, each body is different and it's all normal, just organized a little differently sometimes. Oh. And so she does a really, really good job about, you know, being pretty blunt with her writing. But I love it.
I love it. I love when people keep it real. I'm going to have to read that book.
I know, Beth. Yeah, she definitely keeps it real. And, you know, mental health in general, I think that the psychological aspect of sex is underrated. You know, confidence, desire, knowing yourself. One of my favorites, as you know, is the erotic blueprints, right? It's kind of your sexual love language. And it's really important, I think, to know that about yourself and also your partner, so that you guys can be on the same page and, you know, communicate effectively and speak that same, you know, love language.
Yes, definitely. And can you elaborate a little bit more on the connection between sexual health and overall well-being, both physical and mental?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The two are completely intertwined. I think when most people think about sexual health, they probably gear more towards physical, right? Hormones, you know, low testosterone, or the decades-long menopause experience. I think that knowing kind of where you're at and having a baseline is extremely important. So I recommend all my patients get their hormones tested on a yearly basis. And if you really want to get, you know, in depth on where you are as a female with your hormones and your physical health, the Dutch test is amazing. It's a dried urine test for comprehensive hormones. So ladies, you can do it at home. You don't have to get your blood drawn. There are specifics around, you know, where you are in your cycle and times of days, but you will get pages of information, and it is fascinating.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fascinating how much you can learn about yourself. And what's great about the Dutch test and some of these other tests that are take homes, you can order them yourself. You know, you do not have to have a prescriber. We do get discounts, you know, with our full script labs, but you can order it for yourself. You go right on their website, which is amazing and helpful. And so I think those are probably the main things that we talk about with physical health, but there are so many new innovating things out there, Beth, as you're aware of. You know, I think weight plays such a significant factor in it. So, you know, your GLP-1s, your semaglutide and tirzepatide, not only helping with weight loss, but also it protects your brain, your heart, reduces inflammation. And I can't tell you how many of my weight loss patients have thanked me because they are having a better sex life and more intimacy
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, well, one, the confidence, of course, the confidence that
100%
comes from the weight loss, but also, yeah, there's so many health benefits to the semaglutide too. And I remember when we launched it a couple of years ago, and then it just went crazy. Yeah, that's so exciting. Can you, yeah, speak a little bit more about some of the benefits on semaglutide though?
Yeah, I mean, semaglutide, a lot of people don't realize this, but in the clinical trials, it was a Parkinson's drug. It reduces that beta amyloid plaque that causes Alzheimer's and dementia. So it is neuroprotective. But it's kind of how Viagra came about, right? It was a blood pressure medication to start with in the clinical trials. And then they realized, whoa, there are some other benefits that we can make a lot more money off of. And so the pharmaceutical companies did the same with this medication. But, you know, controlling blood sugar, helping with osteoarthritis, you know, joint pain, and just overall, you know, sugar, carb cravings, and just how your body feels with the reduced inflammation is a huge benefit of semaglutide. And there are multiple other peptides that are out there that help with, you know, energy, metabolism. And one that's one of my favorites is melanotan 2. Not only do you get like a beautiful bronze skin out of it, but it does help a little bit with appetite suppression. And it definitely does increase libido. I can personally attest to that medication that it does. It does as advertised.
Yeah, and that is the injection that you said it kind of gives you like the tan too, correct?
It does. Yeah, it gives you a beautiful bronze. It activates those melanocytes from the inside out. And oddly enough, a benefit for that one is it helps with irritable bowel syndrome. And that's kind of a newer, research topic out there. But, you know, women or men with irritable bowel syndrome, you know, that is another mental health, physical aspect of sex when you don't know when something like that might hit.
Absolutely.
People don't think about that very often, but it happens every single day.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's just so interesting how it's all connected, right? Like, I know today we're really focused on sexual wellness, but how all of this really plays a part into, it's all connected. It's kind of like when we look at the body, I'm so intrigued by science in general. And I truly believe in more of the holistic approach like you do, and just taking care of our bodies because they were meant to heal. Everything's connected. And the same is true here with everything we're talking about. So with the weight loss and the sexual wellness and just people being more open to these options and really connecting it all. And I know our focus at my med spa and yours is pretty similar. And I think this is really the direction of where aesthetics is going in general, is focusing on the person as a whole and making sure they look and feel their best from the inside out, because
absolutely,
we know that it all really starts from within.
Absolutely. Completely agree.
I know you were talking a little bit about the hormone test and all of the tools that we kind of have at our fingertips these days, but can you jump a little bit more into how you feel like technology has impacted our approach to sex and intimacy?
Yeah. You know, when I think about technology, I think about it kind of twofold. So I believe that there's a lot of positivity, like with technology and Google searches and having tools more accessible. I still feel like there's some negative out there with portraying unrealistic expectations, diversity kind of being underrepresented. But, you know, for this topic, I think what I'd prefer to focus on it is what technology is coming out to help, right? And one of the big things, and both of us know this because we have this device, but the CO2 laser has been out for decades, and it's kind of a tried and true technology. It's really good. But with more and more research and advanced technology, we're now able to use that same device for vaginal rejuvenation. And that's going to help with lubrication and tightness and incontinence, and also, you know, the visibility of the labia and helping with, you know, that skin looking a little more soft and supple. And even in the past decade, you know, that hasn't been really talked about or out there as an option. And technology has really helped us have more options to help our patients. And I love reading about new devices and new things that may be coming out. I know you've got a couple that I don't have, but yeah, technology is absolutely impacting our approach. 100%.
Yes, our devices are definitely a game changer for sexual wellness and everything that we do in the clinic. I personally love the CO2 laser too. And then we have the Imcella, which is what we call the Kegel throne.
Yes.
For 28 minutes with your clothes on. It's great for men and women. And literally in a 28-minute session, it's the same concept as doing 11,200 Kegels, which I don't think anyone can do in their life. I know I've tried to just do Kegel exercises before, and you know, you get distracted like after a couple. So to have technology like that, and our pelvic floor health is so extremely important. And also with the CO2, being able to do it for aesthetic purposes as well as wellness purposes, it's just so awesome to have these technologies available to us.
Absolutely. They're fun, right? I like to experiment with them and see what we can do with settings and protocols and really getting the most out of the devices, but making sure that we're providing safe and effective treatments for our patients.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that speaks too on when you say kind of play around and just advance in your practices. That's one of the things I really pride myself on with my clinic, is that we're always wanting to do cutting edge and kind of like more advanced treatments. So as we get more familiar with the technology and learn more and research more, we're able to integrate. Because I know, for example, we have the same, you know, CO2 laser, and how many FDA clearances are there on that device?
Oh my gosh, multiple.
Yes, like so many that I haven't even incorporated many of the treatments into my practice yet, but I'm super excited to do so because there's just so much out there. It's exciting.
Absolutely. I think we're just dipping our toe in the water, honestly, on technology and what's out there and what's available and what we can do for our patients. So I'm really excited for the future of technology and sexual wellness overall.
For sure. Yes. So there's really a strong connection between mental health and sexual health, which we've kind of spoke on. Can you talk about how mental wellness impacts sexual wellness and vice versa?
That's a complex one, Beth. Yeah. You know, I think the relationship between mental health and sexual health, it's complex, right? It's interconnected. They significantly influence each other. And, you know, I see in my clinic a few main things that I see, you know, mood disorders, depression, anxiety. We all know that reduces libido or sexual desire. You can also feel tired, lack of pleasure. You know, on the differential diagnosis list of low T is depression, because they do share a lot of the same symptoms. And so making sure that you're getting that lab work to truly understand, you know, some men feel like they are depressed and they're like, oh, you know, I'll be fine. Well, when they actually have low testosterone. And when they fix their testosterone, it helps with their depression. It helps with their bone mineral density. It helps with their muscle strength, weight loss. And so all of those are kind of intertwined. And then how many people, you know, do you see every single day on an antidepressant or something for anxiety. And those medications can have, you know, negative impacts on sexual function. And most of them do reduce libido or cause erectile dysfunction. So not only can depression and anxiety cause like excessive worry about your performance or your body image, but the medications used to treat them can sometimes cause issues with sexual health. So it's a fine line and balancing act with those. And then the other one that I usually see is stress. You know, chronic stress definitely lowers sexual desire and impairs sexual function, but it disrupts your hormone production, particularly cortisol. And a lot of that can not only decrease your libido, but then increase weight. So then we're back in that same, you know, issue that we were talking about earlier with the GLP-1s. And so I 100% think that they're connected, and a strong mental health is extremely helpful and vital for a strong physical and sexual health, in my opinion.
Yes, definitely. And stress is everywhere and it just affects everything.
Absolutely.
So what about sexual wellness and how it ties into our overall self-esteem and self-worth and just overall confidence? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that positive, you know, sexual experiences do contribute to a higher sense of self-esteem and emotional well-being, and kind of vice versa on that. When you have positive self-esteem and emotional well-being, you're more likely to engage in positive sexual experiences. But the healthy sexual relationships, whether you are with a partner or by yourself, you can still promote feelings of happiness and intimacy, and all of those contribute to the mental health. You know, we talked a little bit about the endorphins that come out not only with sex, but just with physical touch in general. You know, there's studies out there that say, you know, strong, tight hugs, even with a friend for 9 seconds or longer, can increase those happy endorphins, which is amazing and fascinating. Wow. Yes, fascinating to me. So absolutely. And, you know, conversely, sexual dissatisfaction or a lack of intimacy can lower your self-esteem and maybe can even contribute to feelings of loneliness or isolation. And so I don't know if our patients, you know, put that together all the time. And that's why it has become a topic in almost every single one of my conversations with my patients, because they all feed each other, right? When they lose weight and they feel more confident and they're having more positive sexual experiences, they're just happy in general. They're just much happier in general.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's so interesting how, you know, I was kind of giggling when you were like, when it's a positive sexual interaction, because there's also obviously unhealthy, you know, sexual interactions that aren't going to benefit our confidence and self-esteem. So I think that's really important. But also, even talking about like statistics with divorce rates, I mean, I don't know exactly off the top of my head, but sex and money are like the big things that break marriages up and relationships. So
yes, absolutely. Top two reasons.
Yeah, exactly. And people sometimes, again, just push us under the rug like, oh, it's not a big deal, but really it's a huge deal.
100%. And I think that's why it's so important for partners to be on the same page. You know, for some couples, having sex once a year on their anniversary is good, and they both are fine with that. And for other couples, you know, they want multiple times a day. And what happens, it often happens, is that one partner will have a different drive, a different sex drive and a different libido, and they'll have accelerators that are, you know, a little more easily pushed. And so I think just communicating with each other is extremely important, and just making sure that you can find a way to, you know, fill the needs of both partner and making sure that you're putting in the effort. I think that's the most important thing.
Yes, the effort, because it's so easy in the beginning to be like, oh, you know, this is what my expectation is and this is what mine is. But then, and this is not just true for sex, but I think a lot of things in a relationship. And then, you know, you go into it, and in my opinion, you have to give more effort at that point, because we all get out of that honeymoon phase, but so many people just kind of get lazy, for lack of better terms. And I think the same is true for this. So I mean, what would you recommend for the person that needs it multiple times a day versus the person once a year? I mean, how would that, that couldn't work. That would
right. Oh, that one's a little, they're both on the opposite ends of the spectrum there. So yeah. That one, I think would be a little bit difficult, right? But I think understanding the context is important. You know, I was reading in the Coming Jar book last night, just talking about, she talks about accelerators and brakes, and the most important things are stress and being busy, but really finding out what drives your partner. And is it a hot bath? Is it a vacation? It's really a lot about your surroundings. But she was making a joke about, you know, if you're trying to talk to your kid about something and your partner comes up and slaps you on the butt, you're probably going to be annoyed with that. But if you're being flirty and you're talking and you kind of got that look and they slap you on the butt, you might be a little turned on by that. It's the exact same sensation, but you perceive it differently because of the context, right? And the environment. And so I think creating an environment where both partners or all partners feel comfortable and confident to kind of be themselves, but also knowing the needs and really truly understanding the needs and trying to meet in the middle is vital.
So true. I love that. And then also intimacy starts far beyond the bedroom, you know?
Absolutely. And that goes back to, you know, the Erotic Blueprints book. We've talked a lot about that and knowing what your love language is. You know, are you a sexual that's turned on by, you know, the typical, quote unquote, typical sexual terms, penetration, orgasm, or are you a sensual? You know, a lot of women like soft touch and massage, or you're an energetic where you don't need to be touched at all. You just like the look, or, you know, maybe you like something that's a little taboo for you. Maybe you're kinky, and that can range with couples from one end of the spectrum to another. You know, one couple may think it's kinky and taboo to use handcuffs, and another couple may think it's kinky to make out in the back of a movie theater. You know, it's all over the place. Or you might be a shapeshifter and you might like all of them and be turned on by all of them. And that's part of the education piece. And that's part of knowing your partner or your partners and figuring out how you can relate to each other and how you can communicate with each other effectively in the bedroom.
And I haven't read this book yet, but I'm just interested to know, is intellectual one of the languages?
It is not. It's the sexual, sensual, energetic, kinky, those four, or a combination, which is a shapeshifter. But intellectual, I 100% believe that should be in there.
Yes, me too. Yeah, I'll have to check that book out because I know you talk about that a lot.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Understanding those languages. Just kind of like the love languages with psychology. I love that book too, because I don't think that's necessarily even just in intimate relationships. I think love languages are in your team and your friendships and everything. But it would be cool to just have a better understanding of the sex language, love languages for education to clients. You know, I think that's so powerful.
It is.
What are the benefits of incorporating sexual wellness practices into our wellness routines?
Yeah, I think there's multiple mental and physical benefits from incorporating those into your just everyday routine. You know, we think a lot about, oh, I'm going to put my moisturizer on before I go to bed, or I'm going to take this, or I'm going to do that. But, you know, there are a lot of things out there that are not a daily practice. I think therapy and counseling is one. You know, obviously, if you need to work through some stuff, but communication in a relationship, honest, open communication about mental health and sexual concerns can really strengthen your relationship and increase that emotional support. And honestly, a lot of people don't always connect these, but lifestyle factors, I mean, regular physical activity, adequate sleep, you know, kind of some healthy eating habits, trying to keep, you know, alcohol to a minimum, all of those can help with mental wellness and physical wellness. And a lot of times we do not correlate those two. But when you exercise and you feel better and those happy endorphins are released and you have a better body image, well, then you feel sexier. And then you want to have more sex or you get more pleasure out of sex. They're all intertwined.
For sure. Absolutely. The working out, I mean, is so good for that and the mental health. And, you know, I have to move daily for all of the pillars, the emotional benefit to it, the mental benefit to it, and all the things. I think that's so important for people to be able to understand, because a lot of this just boils down to like where we are mentally, right? And emotionally. Right.
And I think a lot of my patients are like, I don't have time to exercise. We all do usually somewhere in our day, but I try to start small. You know, I'm like, do some squats while you're brushing your teeth, you know, do some calf raises while you're in the shower. Take 10 seconds to do a few push-ups when you wake up in the morning. Like, we can, you know, really start small. I try to use my rowing machine while I'm watching TV, you know, just anything to where I'm a multitasker, as you know, Beth, yes. Like my brain doesn't stop anyway.
Me too. Yeah.
So I like to do things like that. And I like to be like, you're not spending any more time, you know, instead of singing happy birthday twice while you're brushing your teeth, do 20 squats for me. You know, just that's anything to get the body moving. You know, it's hard to get that initial oomph, like getting out of bed in the morning. But then once you do, and you get rolling, body in motion stays in motion. And so I think, you know, you could probably attest to this, like starting your exercise routine years ago probably wasn't that easy, but now it's become a norm for you and you crave it.
Oh yeah. If I don't get that in, I feel like my whole day's off, you know? And by the way, why can't we sing happy birthday, brush our teeth, and do the squats?
Oh my gosh, you're right. You could. I don't know if I'm that coordinated. I think I would either fall or spit toothpaste on the floor if I tried to do that. But
I could probably get more than 20 squats in if I sing happy birthday twice.
I'm going to try it tonight. Okay. Challenge accepted.
Awesome. Well, you're so right, because we all make time for what we want. And yes, when it comes to like starting a workout routine or starting, you know, a fitness journey, yes, starting slow is perfectly fine, because it sucks when you start anything. Like, every expert was once a beginner, and it sucks. Like, I remember just being like, I got to do this today. And now it's like, I get to do this today.
Right.
But we all make time for what's important to us, so I never buy that excuse. But also, I'm a multitasker as well. And, you know, for example, like I love to read, and I usually do Audibles now versus like reading a book, because I can get laundry done or I can listen to it in the car, and I'm multitasking and feeling productive at the same time. But we all make time for what's important to us. So I encourage everyone to do that.
Absolutely. Agree.
So Breck, how do you see the future of sexual wellness evolving in our world of wellness and aesthetics?
Oh man, I think the sky's the limit. I mean, there's new research coming out all the time. There's, you know, better testing for blood and serum and urine hormones and different biomarkers that we're looking for. And really starting, I think what's the future is customization. In the past, you've got different medications that come in this form and this dosage, and this is what we start every patient out at. And this is, you know, even GLP-1s, a lot of practitioners will say, you're going to start at this dose of semaglutide, and at 4 weeks, you're going to go up to this, and at 8 weeks, you're going to go up to this. I don't do that. You know, my practitioners don't do that. I try to treat every patient as an individual, because they are, and everyone responds so incredibly differently. And so I think, you know, dosing and making sure that your patients are getting the support and the supplements that they need to feel better, and that their body might be lacking compared to the norm or the average. I don't like to talk to my patients about, you know, average weight loss or normal weight loss, because everyone is very different. So I think where we have missed out in the past and really missed the mark is truly customizing for each of our patients, whether it's hormone replacement therapy or peptides or, vaginal rejuvenation treatments, whatever it is that they need, I think it's our duty in the aesthetic and wellness industry to really make sure that whatever we're doing is tailored to each of our patients' specific needs.
Yes, customization and customized treatment plans is where it's at for sure. And if we're not doing that, we're doing an injustice to them because not all bodies, not all faces, not all... Well, you were speaking to this earlier too, even just like anatomically, we're all so different. You know, there's not just one way. So it's so important for us to be able to just customize for each individual. And then there's some treatments that like you wouldn't absolutely would never recommend to a particular person because of a medical condition or even a mental condition.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have to have those tough conversations with patients. Sometimes, you know, we do come across patients with body dysmorphic disorder or other things, and it's our duty, you know, our Hippocratic oath is first do no harm. And sometimes it's not an easy conversation to have, but ultimately it's our job and our duty to protect our patients. And, you know, I want to provide effective treatments, but they have to be safe.
Yes. Safety first, for sure. So what advice would you give to someone looking to improve their sexual health, whether they are single, in a relationship, or just seeking more knowledge overall?
Educate yourself. I mean, that I think that's number one. Obviously, improving sexual health is a personal journey, right? And the approach is going to vary from individual to individual, but knowledge is power. And that's in any aspect of life. And it is when it comes to sexual wellness as well, you know, understanding your own body and anatomy and sexual functions and kind of how they relate to overall health is important. Reading some of the books that we talked about today, listening to podcasts like this is a way to educate yourself. And then we've touched on it quite a bit, but communication. I mean, just communicating openly, whether you're in a relationship or not, you know, talking about your desires, your needs, you know, being open to feedback. That's one thing that's not always easy for anyone, especially if you're talking about, you know, sexual health. But again, every body is different. Everyone has a different love language, a different erotic blueprint. Putting that all together to really be able to be on the same page and to have a pleasurable experience with yourself or with your partner is going to be important. And then, you know, prioritizing your mental and physical health is going to be important. But, you know, one that people don't talk about a lot because it's not easy, but, you know, practicing self-care and self-discovering, you know, embracing your body and exploring who you are, but taking your time. You know, this is not a race. It's a journey for everyone, and it's going to be different. You're going to explore and find things out at different points in your life. And just, I think, respecting yourself and your partner is going to be the most important piece that you can do overall for your sexual wellness.
That's amazing. Yes. That's so powerful. Well, thank you so much, Breck, for sharing your insights and expertise today. This has been such a fun conversation. Your perspective on sexual wellness has been truly enlightening. I encourage our listeners to embrace open and honest conversations about sex and to prioritize their sexual wellness and well-being. I know this episode will help our listeners understand how sexual wellness is deeply connected to your overall well-being, mental, physical, and emotional. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, share, and subscribe to the Hustle and Heart podcast. Until next time, keep hustling with heart.
There you have it, another episode of Hustle and Heart. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on your app and connect with me on social media so you don't miss a beat. I'll see you next time on the Hustle and Heart podcast.